The following is an arrival address given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on January 29, 1986 in Ipoh, Malaysia.
Krishna, Chaitanya, and Prabhu Nityananda have come here. The most merciful incarnations. No one can imagine their mercy. Lord Chaitanya predicted that his message would be sung and practiced in every town and village throughout the entire world. Prativiti ache jatonagaradi gram sarvatra prachar haibe mo naam. So, of course, the message is being sung all over the world, in Europe, in America, South America, Africa, Russia. So, it's nothing surprising that this important country of Asia, Lord Chaitanya has come. Lord Chaitanya doesn't come because of someone being important or insignificant, but because of His causeless mercy. Sanskara kalo jayaya, Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya,
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 Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Narayanam namaskritya narang shaivarotamang deving saraswating vyasang tato jayamudiyajat. Samskara kalo jayaya apatyasyatmanastatha preta sangsa mitahascha karmanya abhyudhyayet nripa atha desan pravakshami dharmadi sriya avahan savai punyatamo desa satpatrang yatra labhyate Bimbang bhagavato yatra sarvamitacharacharam yatra brahmanapkulam tapovidhyadhoyanvitam. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Abhaycharan Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. O King Yudhisthira, at the time prescribed for reformatory ritualistic ceremonies for oneself, one's wife, or one's children, or during funeral ceremonies and annual death ceremonies, one must perform the auspicious ceremonies mentioned above in order to flourish in fruitive activities. Narada Muni continued, now I shall describe the places where religious performances may be well executed. Any place where a Vaishnava is available is an excellent place for all auspicious activities. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the support of this entire cosmic manifestation with all its moving and non-moving living entities. and the temple where the deity of the Lord is installed is the most sacred place. Furthermore, places where learned brahmanas observe Vedic principles by means of austerity, education, and mercy are also most auspicious and sacred. Auspicious indeed are the places where there is a temple of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, in which he is duly worshipped, and also the places where there flow the celebrated sacred rivers mentioned in the Puranas, the supplementary Vedic literatures. Anything spiritual done there is certainly very effective. Srila Prabhupada gives the purport. The Vedas recommend many ritualistic ceremonies to be performed with one's wife, on the birthdays of one's children, or during funeral ceremonies. And there are also personal reformatory methods like initiation. These must be observed according to time and circumstances and the directions of the Shastra. Bhagavad Gita strongly recommends Gyatva Sastra Vidanoktam. Everything must be performed as indicated in the Shastras. For Kali Yuga, the Shastras enjoin that Sankirtana Yajna be performed always. Kirtaniya Sada Hari. All the ritualistic ceremonies recommended in the Shastras must be preceded and followed by Sankirtana. This is the recommendation of Srila Jiva Goswami. It's also indicated here that a Vaishnava temple where the Supreme Personality of Krishna is worshipped and where Vaishnavas are engaged in the service of the Lord is the best place for performing any religious ceremonies. At the present day, especially in big cities, people live in small apartments and are not able to establish a deity or temple. Under the circumstances, therefore, the centers and temples being established by the expanding Krishna consciousness movement are the best sacred places for performing religious ceremonies. Although people in general are no longer interested in religious ceremonies or deity worship, the Krishna consciousness movement gives everyone the chance to advance in spiritual life by becoming Krishna conscious. Said on the Srimad Bhagavatam, Archayami Vaharaye Pujangya Sraddhaye Hate Natad Bhakte Shuchanyesu Sabhakta Prakrita Smita. A person who is very faithfully engaged in the worship of the deity in the temple but does not know how to behave toward devotees or people in general is called the Prakrita Bhakta or Kanishta Adhikari. Therefore, in the temple there must be the deity of the Lord, and the Lord should be worshipped by the devotees. This combination of the devotees and the deity creates a first-class transcendental place. Aside from this, if a grihastha devotee worships the Shalagram Shila, or the form of the deity at home, his home also becomes a very great place. It was therefore customary for the members of the three higher classes, namely the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas, to worship the Shalagram Shila, or a small deity of Radha Krishna or Sita Rama, in each and every home. This made everything auspicious. But now they have given up the deity worship. Men have become modernized, and are consequently indulging in all sorts of sinful activities, and therefore they are extremely unhappy. Confirmed. According to Vedic civilization, therefore, the holy places of pilgrimage are considered most sacred, and still there are hundreds and thousands of holy places like Jagannath Puri, Vrindavan Hardwar, Rameshwara, Prayag, Mathura. India is the place for worshipping or cultivating spiritual life. The Krishna consciousness movement invites everyone from all over the world without discrimination as to caste or creed to come to its centers and cultivate spiritual life perfectly. Thus in the purports and translations to texts 26 up to 29 of the 7th canto, chapter 14, in the chapter entitled Ideal Family Life. So, this is a conversation between Narada Muni and Maharaj Yudhisthira, where Narada Muni is explaining to Maharaj Yudhisthira the principles of ideal life. So he'd already discussed Brahmachari life, Grihastha life, Vanaprastha life, Sannyas stage of life in brief. Now he's giving a more detailed explanation of the family life. As first, it mentions that the family life, there are so many samskaras, or purificatory process to be observed. Actually, for the civilized human beings, there are 10 samskaras, starting from Garbhodhan samskar and ending finally with the Srad. So, all of the various samskaras are meant for uplifting the consciousness of the human being, right from even before birth, at birth and after. So, the family life is given a very large, practically the largest of all, the concentration on samskaras and everything, especially for the grihasthas. There are very few samskaras that brahmacharis or vanaprastha or sannyasis go through. Of course, because in the grihastha ashram, the tendency is to become absorbed in materialistic activity, but to counteract that, and at the same time, because grihasthas have the very important service of producing new progeny, new children, which are going to be the future of the world. And so if those children are brought up in a proper spiritual environment, then that means the future of the world is going to be very promising. In fact, Arjuna, when in the Bhagavad Gita, he was so concerned about the future of the world that one of the reasons he gave for not fighting in the Kurukshetra battle was, he said, if I kill all these opponents, then their lives are going to become unprotected and it will produce varna sankara, or unwanted progeny, which is one of the problems we are facing in the modern world. So, at least in the Western countries, not so much. And so, it's not possible, of course, to do all of the samskaras, but the principal samskaras are easily performed. Even these samskaras are not considered to be effective unless before and after there's the performance of the Sankirtan Yajna. Even the Shukracharya mentions in the Bhagavatam, when Bali Maharaj, after he got the blessing of Ramana Dev, after his being captured and after Shukracharya could understand it and giving a bad guidance to his previous disciple, then he mentioned that whenever the holy name of Hari is chanted, whatever defect may be there in the ritual, that defect is corrected. He said that from Chidram it becomes Nischidram. So even the guru of the demons, he agreed that this chanting of the holy name and that yuga is all auspicious. So nowadays in the modern world, there are not those type of qualified brahmanas who are able to perform all of the rituals perfectly. But in the beginning and the end, by chanting Hare Krishna, then everything is made auspicious. So one of the objectives, of course, of our Krishna conscious preaching is that we want to see that the whole world becomes sanctified. And one way of doing that is, Prabhupada in 1970, before he sent me to India, just a few days before he sent me, He pulled me aside and he told me that don't think that all of the Krishna conscious devotees are going to live in these temples. These temples are training centers. They are places where people will gather on occasion or on weekends. But in the future, everyone will be huge congregations around every temple, and they will be having, even Western, at that time I only knew the Western world, they will be having temples in their homes. In 1977, he instructed me to see that this message gets spread to the homes of all the towns and villages. So we've had the opportunity now of working in the past so many years with people who are practicing Krishna consciousness in their homes. And we see this as the biggest frontier of preaching. And of course, in India, it's not a new thing that people will be having a temple in their home. Most people are having some puja room or some altar in their house. And most people coming from that Vedic or spiritual tradition, they're having this system. But in many of the temples, you find that they hire a purohit who does the puja. So Prabhupada, he was requesting many of the big industrialists and other people in India, that why do you hire a purohit to do your puja? He's a Brahmin. He said, never mind. You may be a Brahmin, you may be a Vaishya or a Kshatriya or anything else. But I'll give you the necessary training. As a Vaishnava, you should do your own puja. Don't give a power of attorney. You get the personal benefit, the personal mercy of worshipping the deity. But most of the people, very few took the advantage. Some have taken. And those who are taking that opportunity, they're finding that this is a very enjoyable, uplifting spiritual experience. We have read today that wherever the deity is established, that place becomes a holy place. So that means if every home has a deity, and a deity, not a neglected deity, but a deity which is worshipped, which is respected by the residents of that home, and especially, someone may say, well, we may make so many mistakes. And if we make a mistake, then that'll be misfortunate. For this regard, the reassurance is given that while worshipping deity before and after, if you chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, then everything becomes auspicious. Even if there's some mistake, that will be overlooked. So, in this way, when they say Vrindavan as a place of 5,000 temples, they mean that there are 5,000 houses in Vrindavan, and every house there's a temple. So like that, in Ipo there could also be 5,000 temples. Not that Ipo doesn't have 5,000 homes that could have temples. Certainly it does. So then this could be just like a Vrindavan, at least for those people who are having Krishna in their home. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he used to sit in his house and worship Krishna. And he would actually see he would see that his house was the spiritual world. So this is actually the purpose of human life. Actually, as a human being, we have this potential to know Krishna, to understand the self, to become completely transcendental, to realize what is the difference between life and death. Bhagavad Gita tells us, ajo nityam sasuto purano nahanyate hanyamane sarire. But we are ajo. We are never born. We never die. Only the body is dying. This basic thing is there. But factually speaking, now in the modern world, how many people understand that they're not the body? You read in the newspapers and you find that all the battles are going around in the world because one person thinks, I'm American, I'm Libyan, I'm Arab, I'm Christian, I'm Muslim, I'm Hindu, I'm Buddhist, I'm black, I'm white, I'm Russian, I'm Chinese, I'm this, I'm that, Indian. Everyone is thinking they're the body. And because of this body consciousness, there's so much strife in the world, so much fighting. And they're looking, what is the solution? They're all having big meetings, United Nations, everything. But where is the solution? The solution is so simple, but that solution is so simple that they won't accept. This is their foolishness. The simple solution is people have to realize who they really are, that they're not the body. When they realize this, that they are actually the spirit soul. The spirit soul is the same. No matter which body, which type of body it may be in, on the spiritual platform, it's the same. Pandita Samadarshina. That transcendental vision to see all living entities as the same can only come when one has the Krishna conscious or spiritual vision. You can make so many rules and so many meetings, how to have cultural integration, how to have this integration, how to have this understanding. But as long as people are on the bodily platform, it is simply a show. But when people come up to the spiritual platform, they realize, Mamai Vamsa Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana, that we are jivas, eternal souls, part and parcel of Krishna. Then we can see that because we are all part of the same Absolute Truth, therefore we are all one brother, sister, one family under the Supreme. So that is the actual consciousness which is needed in the world. But instead they are putting up so many shows. And what is the result? Nothing. The result is that we have 40 wars going on today in the world. Although there's no world war, there are 40 wars all over the world. Or more. According to a recent count that was made. So we're not concerned with that so much, but we're concerned with the personal battle we have to do in our lives. But we are also fighting a war. That is a war against time. We've got this special benediction given to us. That as a human being, we have the potential to become completely God-realized, self-realized, completely perfect in this life, completely happy. We can transcend all of the various problems that are there. The difference between human life and animal life is animal. It dies, the human dies, animal is born, human is born, animal is growing old, human is growing old, animal is getting diseased, human is getting diseased, animal is suffering, eating, waiting, and enjoying. So as a human, what is the difference is that the human being can transcend the problems, can solve the problem, can realize what is the actual relationship with Krishna, but an animal cannot. Animal has to just stay in its own place. So if we are satisfied to stay in our own place and simply go on like that, then naturally it's a hopeless situation. So as Prabhupada said, that we have all the modern advancement, but we're unhappy. This is the modern world. People have all so much advancement, but they're unhappy. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is not to make people unhappy, it's to make people happy. And by chanting Hare Krishna, we just went on a tour in the Padyatra, which started in Dwarka. And that from September 2nd, Radhastami 1984, went down through Gujarat, Maharashtra, Karnataka, Kerala, through Udupi, through Guruvayur, through Padmanabhaji in Trivandrum, Punyakumari in Madurai, Meenakshipuram, Sundara, Eshwaram, through Rameshwaram, Srirangapuri, Kunchipuram, Madras, Tirupati, Tirumala, up through Andhra Pradesh, to Sinhachalam and to Jagannath Puri. Now it's entering on the last stretch, the last few hundred kilometers into Bengal. So in this Padajatra of Kirtan and preaching throughout India, wherever we went, we encouraged the people to chant Hare Krishna. and thousands of people would chant along with us. So in the Vedic times, we know that there was Ashwamedhyagna. Ashwamedhyagna, they would take an old horse, take the life of the old horse, and give the life back by mantra. That would show the effectiveness of the Vedic mantra. So we would get all the people to chant Hare Krishna. Then afterwards you'd ask them, how do you feel? They would say, we feel very good. Because in the Chaitanya Charitamrita it says that Abda Piha Lila Kore Goradai Kono Kono Bhagyavan Begi Varipai. Also, Adhyapiha, whoever chants the name Shri Krishna Chaitanya and Hare Krishna Mahamantra even today, they can immediately feel transcendental peace and happiness. Not only around India, but I have done the same thing in South America, in Africa, when I was recently visiting there, all over. And anyone who chants, giving an honest concentration, they cannot help but feel some change in their consciousness. So we are asked, is this not the proof of the Veda, of the mantra? You want to test the mantra, so this is the proof? Just as much as bringing the horse back to life was the proof, if we can bring spiritual life into our dry existence, that is also proof that the mantra is effective. So Lord Chaitanya said that he will deliver even the most fallen souls. What to speak of those who are already pious or who are simple people? You see, actually, delivering the most fallen is difficult. But even that, Lord Chaitanya's mercy is doing. We find in Malaysia that the people are not offensive by nature. They're very good-natured. Even though sometimes they may be somewhat addicted to various kind of non-devotional activities, But they are very good at heart, and so when they come in contact with spiritual association, they don't have any inhibition like that. They don't have any prejudice or anything. Many of the people, they're open to try. And when they try, they find that, yes, they experience some very sublime changes in their lives. This is simply the proof that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy is there. Because even if the most fallen can be delivered, what about those who are more pious? What about those who are more gentle-hearted? We need that injection of spiritual force in this age of Kali. Otherwise, sooner or later, gradually all the good qualities go. It is predicted that Kali Yuga, all good qualities of the human being get destroyed. Kalo doshya nidhi rajan hastiyak mahanguna kirtanareva krishnasya mukta sangha parangvajit. Maharaj Sukadeva Goswami told to Maharaj Parikshit that this Kali Yuga is the ocean of defects, ocean of faults. But it has one good quality, hasti hyaka mahanguna, one mahaguna, one great quality. What is that great quality? Kirtanat eva krishnasya, chanting the holy name of Krishna. That one good quality, if you put all the bad qualities of Kali Yuga on one side of the scale, on the other side you put the one good quality chanting Hare Krishna, that one good quality outweighs all of the bad qualities. But then if you don't chant Hare Krishna, then you have there's only one good quality. So that means then your scale is totally on the downside. This is the one, he says, Hasti Yaka, Yaka Mahanguna, one great quality. No other great qualities. Yaka Mahanguna, one great quality. So then if they have the one great quality, you chant Hare Krishna, then it always all the other problems. But those who don't have that benefit of taking the name of Krishna, then unfortunately, they have to suffer so much unnecessary pains in their life, which we don't want to see anyone suffer. Therefore, we go to some trouble. to try to encourage people to take up this chanting in a serious way. What is the effect of chanting? That is also mentioned in the same verse. Asti gyata mahanguna ketana deva krishnasya mukta sangha param vrajet. Mukta sangha means to be liberated from the bondage of these three modes, the suffering, the association of the guna sangha, of the three modes of material nature. Then when that happens, the finally one is uplifted to param vrajet, to the param padam, or the supreme person, the supreme abode, the supreme destination, with Krishna himself in the spiritual world. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we're very fortunate that he's come here with Lord Nityananda to Ipoh in a very beautiful form, maybe big or maybe small, that has nothing to do. He's not limited by the form. He's spiritually present when his devotees are worshipping him with devotion and love. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was present for only 500 years ago, that time, he was traveling throughout South India, and there was one Brahmana called the Kurma Brahman. You know, he was a Brahman in the place where the Kurma Kshetra was. Kurma Kshetra is one deity in Andhra Pradesh of Lord Kurmadev, the tortoise incarnation. And he approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he said that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I have got so many family problems, so I decided that I want to join you and just travel with you and leave my family and my every problem and just go with you and chant Hare Krishna. Then Lord Chaitanya, he chastised him. He said, you don't say this ever again. Never, never say this again to me. I don't want to hear this word from your mouth. It is my instruction to you. You must stay here, practice Krishna consciousness, deliver your family, deliver your people in this area. Teach them the principles of Krishna consciousness. There is absolutely no necessity. Rather, I forbid you to think about going anywhere else or leaving and coming and joining me or anything like that. Amar agya guru hao taro ei desh. Jari dako tari ko Krishna upadesh. Amar agya guru hao taro ei desh. That was his specific instruction to that Brahmin. And he gave that instruction to many persons. Specifically telling them to take up this order of the disciplic succession and to deliver their people. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in this way, we find that now people are chanting Hare Krishna all over, everywhere. North India, there are many people that have spread this chanting of Hare Krishna. In South India, no one can attribute that any specific acharya has spread the chanting of Hare Krishna. Yet, whether in Tamil Nadu or Kerala, or in Karnataka or Andhra Pradesh, there are many people are chanting Hare Krishna. In Ayyappa temples, and of course Krishna temples, and Shiva temple, everywhere you find many places that the people are chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. The only one that has spread that was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he toured throughout the entire India. So actually, Lord Chaitanya also made it popular in North India, but then subsequently many others have taken his inspiration and propagated it. So you find that there are some people, they chant Hare Krishna, but they're not making the same advancement. They're chanting, but they're not getting the change. This is explained, that if you chant the name of Krishna, then Krishna, he considers your offenses. So when you chant, and we're bound to make some offenses in this age of Kali, then we can go on chanting for birth after birth, even for thousands of births. But if we chant and we commit offenses, we're not going to get love for Godhead. We're not going to get Krishna Prema. We're not going to get the highest potential from that chanting. We may get some other benedictions on a lower level, but we won't get the highest thing. This is the difference, is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually, he doesn't accept any offenses. So when we chant Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's name first, and then we chant Hare Krishna, then you find that you can make advancement very quickly. For instance, in Africa, some of our preachers, they have to preach to people who are drinking all kind of horrible things, and they're doing all type of eating all kind of unmentionable things. So Srila Prabhupada simply told them, you teach them to chant the names of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivastava Gaura Bhakta Vrinda first. Let them chant that after some time, then introduce the chanting of Hare Krishna. This chanting of Chaitanya, there's no offense, that purifies them, and then when they chant Hare Krishna, then immediately they get the effect. In other places where they are not so impious, then little chanting of Hare Krishna, of Chaitanya, and then Hare Krishna is very effective. Why this is enough, this is of course mentioned. The Lord Chaitanya doesn't accept the offenses, that's his particular mood. It was predicted in many Vedas. Not that we are just saying this because we are trying to promote our personal founder as some incarnation. Nowadays there are so many popular avatars, and people want to promote their gurus as being God and so on. This is not at all our intention. Actually, we do not believe, Krishna conscious philosophy does not accept that the guru is God. We accept the guru is respected like God because he is a very confidential servitor of God and he is representing God. So that way, guru is respected by the disciples almost on the level as God. But he is never considered God in the real sense. And the guru certainly never considers himself to be God, but considers himself to be a devotee of the Lord. So Lord Chaitanya came as a devotee. So naturally he would never allow anyone to call him as God. He would never allow that. But it was predicted that in the age of Kali, that actually Krishna himself comes as a devotee in disguise. So naturally when he comes as a devotee, then he has to play the part as a devotee. He won't allow anyone to call him. Just like in the Bhagavatam, it mentions, Krishna Varnam Tisa Krishnan Sangupangasta Parshadam Yagnyai Sankirtana Praya Janti Sumeda Saha. That Krishna comes in a golden color in the age of Kali. Krishna Varnam Tisa Krishna. Akrishna Varna, a non-blackish, a golden color. What is he coming with? Who is he coming with? Sango Pangasta Parshadam. He's coming with Sango, his own expansion. Sango. Ango means the body. Sango means his own bodily expansion. From Krishna came Balaram, from Chaturbhuha, Pradumna Niruddha, Basude Sankarshanam, Narayanam. Like this, so many expansions are coming. So along with Krishna, Chaitanya, there is a Nityananda. Nityananda is Baladeva. And there's so many other, Advaita is the incarnation of Mahavishnu. And like this, so many on the one side. Sango, Pango. Pango means so many energies are coming also. Upangos. The Sango is his own. That means this Swaprakash, his own expansion. And then the Upango, that means coming from the, or the Pango, that's the coming as the energies. In the Svaita Svatra Upanishad, it explains the Parasha Shakti Vividaya Suryate, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan, has got unlimited potencies. So when Lord Chaitanya came, he came with his expansions and also his energies, his Upangos. And Parshada means that Jiva Tattva. You see, there is different categories of living entities. Not that everything is just one. That can be broadly categorized that there is first Bhagavan and his energy. This is in a broad sense. But energy we describe as Prashasaktir, Vividaiva, Vividaiva, Vividaiva in many kinds, not just one kind of energy. Just like in this city, you've got electrical energy, you've got gas, you've got coal, you've got petrol, diesel, you've got so many kinds. This all comes into different types of energy. Combustible energy, electrical energy, magnetic energy, and so on. So the Lord, he has got so many spiritual energies. So those spiritual energies we'll discuss in a minute. But first is the Lord himself. Now the Lord, generally people know the Lord is Narayan, or they may consider that Shiva. These are expansions actually. It's explained when Lord Shiva was asked by Parvati that there's so many worship, there's so many puja, there's so many deities, that which one is actually the supreme? Then Lord Shiva says, Aradhanam sarvesham Vishnu aradharam param tasmat parattam devi tadiyanam samarchanam. That of all the types of worship, the worship of Vishnu is the supreme. The only thing which is more effective than that is worshipping Vishnu devotees. Tadiyanam samarchanam. His devotees or his related things like his name, quality and so on. Tadiya. Tulasi, are all Tadiya. Anyway. But then which are the Vishnu Tattva? So this thing was being discussed between whether it's Narayan or whether it's Krishna, or Varaha, or Kurma, or Matsya, Narasingha, which is the supreme? The Lord Brahma, he said, Iswaraha Paramaha Krishnaha Satchirananda Vigraha Anadi Adi Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. There are all Ishwaras. There's so many Ishwaras. Shiva is Ishwara, Shiva Tattva, Vishnu Tattva. There's so many Ishwaras are there. Vishnu, Mahavishnu, Karanadakshayi Vishnu, Kshirodakshayi Vishnu, Garvodakshayi Vishnu. The Purusha Avatars, then there's the Chaturvyuha, there's the Narayan Rupas, Vaikunthanatha. Then finally you have the Krishna. So of all the Ishwaras, Brahmadeva is saying, Ishwaraha Parama Krishna. But all of them, Ishwar, the Param Ishwar, or the Supreme is Krishna. Or in the Bhagavad Puran, it is also mentioned, Ete Changsha Kolapungsham, Krishnastu Bhagavan Shwayam. That of all the various avatars, all the various incarnations, that were mentioned. They mentioned Kurma, Matsya, Varaha, Parsurama, Narasingha, and so on. Bhutta, everyone. They said they're all Ete Cha Angsa. They're all Angsa or part, or Kola, which is a part of a part. But the original, the Supreme Person in his original form himself, Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam, is Krishna. This is the original form. Actually, Lord Narayan is the official form, and the intimate, the very confidential form is Krishna. Just like if you want to meet the Sultan, he has his official form. You have to go, and he's sitting there with his turban and his dress and everything, and you go, and he'll give you some service award after your 50th anniversary of working for the government or some official function. He has the official, his presentation. But then after the ceremonies are over and everyone leaves and he goes back into his quarters, then he has his wife and he has his queen and his children and his other friends, and within their circle there's a different relationship is going on. But we don't see that one. That's their confidential life. You see. So like that, Narayan is the official. That is the formal aspect, but then what behind the scene, what goes on in a higher level, that is Krishna. That is the intimate, loving relationships. So because Krishna is not just one person, I mean he's one person, but he's not like you or I, he's unlimited, he creates a new form for each aspect.
So for he keeps the permanent Narayan aspect. There's also Krishna, but in that way he has that particular mood, very majestic, opulent and so on. And in his Vrindavan aspect, or that is the intimate mood, there he's relating in another way. But it's the same Krishna, it's the same Narayan, it's the same unlimited Vishnu who's got all the potential power. And that original form is actually the most confidential, full form is Krishna. This is mentioned. Even Rig Veda, Om Krishna Vai Sachidananda Guna Krishna Adi Purusha Krishna Purushottamaha. So that Krishna, he's coming with his all expansions, all his energies. So then one side he's coming with all the expansions. Then in the energy side, in the energies we have basically three categories. One is called Antarango, one is called Bahirango, another is called Madhyastha. That means Antarango means internal energies. Bahirango means external energies. And Madhyastha means the intermediate or middle energy. So this material world, if you look all around, you see the trees, the plants, everything. They're a combination of the two energies, material and spiritual. These walls, this fan, light bulb, this is simply the material energy. But the living things, there's a combination of material and spiritual energy. So the spiritual energy is what makes the things alive. Once you see, if you see a car accident and you see there's a body lying on the street, the life is gone. That was a human being, that was a live body, but now it's no longer alive. And it doesn't look the same. It isn't the same. The life is gone. That life is that spirit soul. It's the easiest thing to understand that within us there's a living force. That living force is us. So the Vedas describe that this living force is a minute part of Krishna's spiritual energy. That spiritual energy is known as the Antaranga Shakti or internal potency. Or in Bhagavad Gita is described as Parashakti. And this material world is known as the Aparashakti. Bhumirapo nalo bhayur kang manor bhureva cha ankaram vidina idiyang me bina prakriti ashtra bina prakriti. This is a separated energy. This external. So Durga, Mahamaya, Amma, she is the separated energy of the Lord. She is all powerful in this material world. Brahma Sanghita says that Sriti, Sthiti, Pralaya, Sadhana, Aka. That she alone, Durga alone, is doing all the creation, all the maintenance, all the destruction. She is all powerful in this material world. Chayameva, Ichanurupa. But she's doing exactly like the shadow. Is moving according to the will of the Lord. She is moving. You cannot see what the Lord is willing. You can only see her action. Therefore, some people are seeing that baby, she is the supreme. She is supreme on her sphere, but they don't understand that she's acting only according to the desire of the supreme Lord. She's not independent. But just like the government may give the chief minister or governor of a state or some chief minister of a state authority. And everyone thinks he's totally independent. But then if they want, they can also call for revote and so on and so forth. Of course, there's no revote for Durga. She's a permanent position. But she follows by the desire of her master. But we don't see what that relationship is between her and him. That is not visible to the people on the lower level. If you're in the prison house, what the chief in the prison, the warden does, that is supreme to you. You don't know what the governor or the prime minister or anybody is telling that warden. That he's not showing you his mail. All you know is that he's providing you. He'll put you in a rigorous imprisonment, or he'll give you a lighter imprisonment, or make you a trustee, and you can wander around in the prison house and give ration out to the others and so on. So like that, within this material universe, this Bahiranga Shakti or Durga Devi, she's got the total run of the show. And she keeps everyone under her control. That's why this material world is known as Durga. Durga. Dur means very difficult to get out of. And Ga means the prison house. This is a prison house which is very hard to get out of. So that's one of the energies, the external. Internal energy is Lakshmi, Radha. These are the internal energy. They never fall down. They're always remaining in the spiritual world. So both of these are great energies, Maha, Maya and Yoga Maya. The Yoga Maya is the spiritual energy, Subhadra, and Bhadra is the material energy. Both of these are huge, great, unlimited energies. You cannot limit them, practically speaking. But then there is the small particles of that spiritual energy known as Jiva Tattvas. They're called the middle energy. They're actually the part of the internal, but they're just the atomic parts. It describes in the Upanishads that this spiritual spark is a chitkona. It is a spiritual spark, a spiritual chispa, or just a small fragment from the fire, the spiritual light. We're just a small spiritual atom, like an atom of light. But we are an individual, personal, small spiritual energy. So because we're so minute, we can fall under the sway of the Mahamaya or Durga, or we can fall under the shelter of the Yoga Maya or the internal potency. Those who turn their face away from Krishna, away from the Lord, and try to enjoy the material life, they get put under the control of the Mahamaya. So in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, all these energies, they also took part. The Gadadhar Prabhu is that internal potency, and Srivas, he's the representing the liberated jivas. There are two types of jivas, Nitya Mukta and Nitya Baddha. The jivas who are liberated are considered Nitya Mukta. Once you're liberated, you're eternally liberated. And those who are not liberated, they're considered Nitya Baddha or eternally in bondage. So in this material world, everyone is a Nitya Baddha. They've been bound in this material world since time immemorial. So the purpose of Lord Chaitanya's mission is to take them from the conditioned state, from the bound state, and take them back and give them their liberated existence. But just like a person's asleep, you're trying to wake him up. Wake up, wake up. He's having a nightmare. Save me! Lion is coming to eat me! And he's screaming, and the baby is crying. This child is saying, lion, lion. And you go and shake, wake up, wake up. Then they don't want to wake up. They're frightened. And you wake them up. Then they look around and say, oh, now everything is all right. Now I'm in my house. Here's my mother. Here's my father. Oh, everything is okay. Oh. I was being eaten by a tiger mother. No, no, it's all right, baby. Everything is all right now. It's like that. We're in the material world. We think, I have so many problems. I have so many things that are just coming. And what is the solution? And what to do? I better take some whiskey and that'll make me feel better. Or I need money, so I should do some black market or buy some lottery ticket and get some money. Or I should rob a bank. Or I should do this. Like this, our desires are disturbing us. Or maybe we don't have such bad habits, so then somehow or another we just struggle and live with the anxieties, thinking that, well, it'll get better in the future or something like that. But the actual, this is not our purpose, it's just to work hard without any higher objective. The purpose is to come back to that original liberated state, to wake up from this illusion or the dream that we think this world is a permanent place. This world is not permanent. It's a temporary place. It's very temporary for us because none of us will live to be 100 years old, practically speaking, except for a very rare soul. That is a very real fact. But the world itself, even though we know that after this life, we take again rebirth. And again we take birth. But that can be ended in a moment if we fix our mind up in Krishna consciousness. So Lord Chaitanya is so kind that he's saying you don't have to externally change. You don't have to go through, you don't have to take sannyas or leave your house. You see, of course, if someone wants to come out and help preaching and otherwise they're qualified, we do take some to do that kind of missionary work. But our overall objective is that everyone in all the families and all the homes, they should practice this principle of Krishna consciousness. And they should be liberated from all these kind of material bondages and come up to their original position. And when a person reaches that, then they're totally transformed people. They don't have to externally change, but internally we change the consciousness. The whole vision of life changes. Instead of seeing things from the animalistic vision, it's like a little child is just starting off, first putting everything in its mouth. What does this taste like? Is this food? Whether it's a nail or whether it's a razor blade or a pin or a piece of dirt, everything goes in the mouth. Then after a while they're taught, no, this is food and that is not food. And you should put food in your mouth and not other things. This, their sense increases. So similarly, the human consciousness is not only just to go up to the point that, all right, this is the food and that's it. No, it's go to the ultimate level. That this is the supreme absolute truth, this is the spiritual real world, and this is the material world. Isha Upanishad said we should know both side by side. What is the material world? What is the spiritual world? And unfortunately, people are not being developed to that level in the modern world, and therefore they're suffering. So Prabhupada said that his desire was that every home should become a holy place. And thus, that type of spiritual culture, people growing up in that environment naturally will become totally liberated people, and they'll be able to help to liberate others. So therefore, we try to encourage people to perfect their lives and then to help others to perfect theirs. So I thank all of you very much, because I know that I've heard so many good reports here on Ipoh, that many of you are all chanting Hare Krishna, and you've shown a great interest in this movement started by His Divine Grace of Vaicharan Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada to spread the Sanatana Dharma and the message of the Vedas, especially this mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And I'm very grateful for the support and the active participation all of you have been giving. And I hope that although we're trying to discuss and see how we can have a permanent arrangement here for all of you. Because especially, of course, if there's many people are interested, then actually that's an encouragement for us to try to make a permanent arrangement.